Hello and welcome to Run the Table. I'm your host, Bryce Tinson. Over! How we doing?
Very good. Good week last week, and excited to get into it today.
So, we're not going to talk about the games last week. This, coming out on Friday, felt like it was, time had already passed enough where enough people had talked about the games. One of them wasn't very good. The other one, all it was just Bengals fans complaining. So we thought, let's not get into that this week. We'll talk about the Super Bowl matchup next week, but we have this, weird week where the Pro Bowl is on Sunday. And so we thought, let's do our first mock draft. So
let's.
Our first mock draft last season actually came during the divisional round. So we're a little behind the eight ball, but that's okay. Because I feel like we're a lot more informed, because the Senior Bowl's happening. The East-West Shrine Bowl had already happened. So we get some more information on some of those guys. We've learned a lot. So I think it's been good for us. Obert's going to take it away. We're going to go 1-1 and then alternate from there. We're going to explain our picks. We'll try to keep it as short as possible. We do know that these can get pretty long, but we're going to do our best. Obert, who is the first overall pick of the 2023 NFL Draft?
Yeah, the Chicago Bears will select Will Anderson Jr. This is a pretty easy pick for me. I think from at least reports I've heard, they're sticking with Justin Fields, which is fine. If you like Justin Fields more than Bryce Young, that's perfectly acceptable. Like I've said, I think I've said on this podcast before, if Bryce Young is the guy for you and you think he's better than Justin Fields, you should absolutely take Bryce Young over Justin Fields or whoever. If it's CJ Stroud, absolutely, Anthony Richardson, yeah, whatever. You should try and be the best you possibly can at that quarterback position. Especially if, oh my God, that's PG-13 right there. So we'll censor that. But yeah, if you can get be as good as you can at the quarterback position, especially with a quarterback that's right there, all you have to do is take him. I would, but they think Justin Fields is their guy. I totally understand that and don't really even disagree with it. So as it is, it has to be a non-quarterback position player. And I'm going to go with Will Anderson Jr. Listen, I think, a lot of people like Jalen Carter. That's fine. I just think positional value isn't really there for the number one overall pick. And just from a production standpoint, I know they do different roles, but the sack numbers, disparities are very large between Will Anderson Jr. and Jalen Carter. And obviously, Jalen Carter's doing something different. But at the end of the day, that's part of the reason why I don't want to take somebody at that position that high in the draft. So I'm taking Will Anderson Jr. I think this is a home run pick for the Chicago Bears. I don't really think this bus, you look at how good he was last year, how good he is this year.
Very, very high floor.
Right.
And he's got a great ceiling as well.
I just think this is a home run pick. And that's what they go with at one. And I wasn't going to, I didn't mock any trades in this one.
So. Oh, I had a bunch of trades. I had a bunch of trades in this one.
You're a little bit farther down the bridge than I am, I think, in this whole mock draft process. But I'll get there.
Yeah, I haven't actually created any formal mock drafts, but I'm to the point where I know most of the guys that I feel like couldn't go in the first round. I've been following the Senior Bowl pretty closely. So I see some names that are rising, having really good weeks. This is my favorite time of year. Outside of the actual season. I just love it so much. And so with the very first pick, the Indianapolis Colts are going to trade up with the threat of the Houston Texans at number two. They're gonna give the farm to trade up. Now, I only gave two firsts and two seconds. It's probably going to take more to get up there. Probably three firsts, I would say.
No, I think that's probably plenty. Two firsts and two
seconds. You think so?
For a three-spot jump. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's more so the Bears are going to be fighting with, or they're going to be bidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think that if there isn't another team that has an offer in, I think two firsts, two seconds probably is what it does, what it takes to get it done. With the first overall pick? Oh, no. The Indianapolis Colts select C.J. Stroud. He's not my number one quarterback, but I saw enough from him in that Georgia game to put him at number two. And I think that with where the Colts are in their head coach search, with Jeff Saturday being the leading candidate, I think they're going to want a more traditional quarterback, and that's not Bryce Young. We talk about size. That's going to be a huge topic of conversation during this draft process. And CJ Stroud is 6'3", 6'4". He's quarterback weight. He's a really good pocket passer, has great presence in the pocket.
All right. What are his traits?
big. he has some of the best ball placement, ball accuracy that you will see coming out of the college level. I think he might be the most accurate quarterback in this class. I mean, he is. There's some throws that he makes. The one to Marvin Harrison on the corner in the Georgia game. I mean, I just don't know if you can put the ball in better places, and he does that, and I think he's going to be a good fit. I do think it's weird trying to draft for a team and especially mocking a trade-up for a team that doesn't have a head coach yet. I do think that's weird because I don't know. Their head coach hire is going to change everything they do in the draft process, but I have heard that the Colts really do like C.J. Stroud, so that's my number one overall pick.
I'm going Bryce Young, number two to the Houston Texans. I like this fit. He is my QB1. I think there's just so much, you know, when you do talk about quarterbacks, it is a lot of kind of stereotypical, he's great in late games, all this stuff. But it is true about Bryce Young, folks. I mean, late game, whenever I need a play, I've seen so many Alabama games where he gets it done. And there have been games where he's kind of just, you know, okay for, you know, the first three quarters, but then it gets into the fourth quarter where his team needs a score, needs a drive, and he always comes up with it. I think about the Texas game this year. I think about the Auburn game last year. I think about the Kansas State game, the Sugar Bowl, where he looked as good as any quarterback in the class, just from a passing perspective. Forget his athleticism, his mobility, his leadership. So he is my QB1. I think, you know, and then for the Texans, I think this is a perfect fit, especially because they don't have the talent. They don't have the playmakers. And, you know, I think they will need some leadership to step in and kind of lead a younger team to at least, you know, semi-relevancy. So I think they need a playmaker, and they're getting one in Bryce Young and a guy who will play year one. So I think this is a really good fit for the Texans. And, yeah, they get their franchise guy.
My first huge twist. I got a lot of them. With the hiring of DeMeco Ryans, I feel like the Texans are going to prioritize defense. And when you have a guy like Jalen Carter on the board, I think they take him at number two. I really do. You know, you can get by with having Davis Mills at your quarterback. You can. I mean, we saw it last year. It wasn't pretty, but you can get by with it. But a guy like Jalen Carter doesn't come around. Like, I know you don't love the positional value, but he is far and away the best interior player in this class, and you're not going to see a guy like this come around and be as surefire as he is in most other classes. If you want a game changer, a disruptor up front, you got to go and get him. And I think a guy like DeMeco Ryans coming from San Francisco, having those disruptors up front, I think that is going to be a huge priority for them, whether they do it in free agency or whether they do it in the draft. But I think being at number two and having the pick of the litter, I think they'll probably address it and take Jalen Carter at number two. Big physical. He's got the speed. He plays with his hands. The one big question mark on Jalen Carter is his stamina. And I have no doubt in my mind that he's gonna work on that this offseason. That's going to be a huge point for him to hit because he's an athletic freak. He really is.
With the third overall pick, I have the Cardinals going with Jalen Carter. I think this is a really interesting spot for the Cardinals. They could trade out for one of these quarterback needy teams, but I don't really see them doing that. I think they have really two options of players that they could get. It's either the Bears take Jalen Carter at one and they're left with Will Anderson, because I really think the Texans take quarterback, or you know, they have it in this scenario where the Bears take Will Anderson Jr. and they get left with Jalen Carter. Either way, it's a win-win for them. They get a very dominant defensive lineman at a position that they really need help at, especially with J.J. Watt retiring. I think Jalen Carter comes in, kind of fills that role pretty seamlessly and well for the Cardinals. My issue with Jalen Carter is I don't know what his ceiling is. I think a lot of the times with the interior rushers, it's this guy has the Aaron Donald upside. He's big and fat. I don't know if he is your, you know, three down lineman that, you know, just absolutely goes for 13, 14 sacks a year, because he didn't do it in college.
Well, neither did Aaron Donald.
Well, yeah, but, you know, a little bit more slender with Aaron Donald, a little bit more potential, I would say. So we'll see with Jalen Carter, but I just think he's probably too big to be, you know, the Aaron Donald sort of player in the next level. But I, you know what? I still think, you know, this is a really good pick for the Cardinals, and they're getting a lot better, you know?
Yeah, and I think this is the perfect situation for the Cardinals. Their biggest need is edge rusher. They get Will Anderson. I mean, this is a perfect spot for him.
I would love that.
You know, being at three with almost assuredly a quarterback going in the top two, you're getting one of Jalen Carter or Will Anderson. And Will Anderson's my number two player in the class. I really love him. He is, you know, really everything you want in a football player. He gives 100% effort. He's not going to quit on plays. He's physical. The one thing that you would wish he had more, being such a caliber of prospect, is the bend. And we saw last year, Aiden Hutchinson didn't really have the bend. Yep. Trayvon Walker didn't really have the bend. Will Anderson has the bend, but it's not to the elite levels. But he has been able to work around that in college. Can he translate to the NFL with his work ethic? I 100% believe so, because he uses his hands really well. He's got an arsenal of moves. He knows hand placements. He knows how to fight, putting your outside hand on the shoulder, giving a little club and rip type move. It's just... You know, what he did at Alabama, I have a hard time believing that it wouldn't carry over into the NFL.
With the fourth overall pick out of the Colts, taking C.J. Stroud, same with you. I think this is, you know, a really good pick for, or a really good fit for C.J. Stroud, and I think it's a good fit for the Colts. Pretty much everything you said for the Colts, I totally agree with. I think they are, especially if signs are pointing the way they are with, you know, Chris Ballard and... what's their owner?
Jim Irsay.
Jim Irsay looking to hire Jeff Saturday. I definitely think they'll be looking to go more of a traditional approach, like you said. And I think C.J. Stroud is more of a traditional quarterback that, you know, 10 years ago probably goes number one in this class.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my mock, I think Bryce Young, I think the height thing, it's bad, but I think, you know, in today's NFL, it's just so much less important than it used to be.
Yeah.
I think, you know, height has kind of gone by the wayside. It's still important, but, you know, playmaking and mobility has been the big one. But we've seen flashes of it from C.J. Stroud, and I don't think it's anything that can't be fixed with him, especially with how he looked in the Georgia game. So I think this really works for the Colts, and I've always said, oh, well, how is he going to look without Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Marvin Harrison Jr. or Garrett Wilson, you know, Chris Olave, whoever you want to spell out. I think this run game will really help him in his development. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they struggled to run the ball first part of last year, but, you know, Jonathan Taylor, having him by your side.
The tough part is he's going from, you know,
right,
Ohio State, he's going to have worse weapons in Indianapolis. And so that's going to be the biggest adjustment for him.
Right. Going against much stiffer competition. But I don't think they'll need him to be great immediately. I think they'll get, you know, take smaller steps as it goes along. And I think he'll be a, you know, transition and become a very good quarterback in the NFL, as much as it pains me to say.
Yeah, no, it's tough because, and we talk about this, he's the best Ohio State quarterback ever. And that's not up for debate. I mean, he just is. He's going to break the Ohio State quarterback doesn't work in the NFL mold.
Right.
People are going to say, oh, no, it's Justin Fields. Guys, C.J. Stroud is a much better prospect than Justin Fields is. Much better prospect.
There's a reason why Justin Fields went, what was it, like 16 or something?
Yeah,
like
he
that?
Fell. Yeah, I think it was 12. I think the Bears traded up and got him. My number four pick, the Chicago Bears were here, but it's a weird spot for the Bears. They don't need the quarterback, right? And Jalen Carter and Will Anderson are gone. It kind of felt like a weird spot, and so they traded out again.
Wow.
With a team that needed a quarterback or has had connections to a quarterback.
Okay.
Who did they trade with? The Carolina Panthers.
Mm.
It didn't take them a ton. I think it was the first, a second, and then another second to move up those five spots. I don't know how that would work on the trade value chart. And they go with Will Levis. This is...
Levi.
The crazy thing is I am not a Will Levis fan at all. I think that his traits, he's got traits, but I didn't see enough at Kentucky, you know, even given the situation, to be like, yeah, he's a good quarterback, or I can see the potential there. It just felt like a lot of errant throws, a lot of not really seeing the field very well. He doesn't have the processor. He's not really a very mobile quarterback. He can move, but he doesn't use it to his advantage. And so I struggle with him as a prospect. But I do see the arm talent. It's there. Like, there's no question about it. And David Tepper, the Panthers owner, has said, or has been rumored to say, that Will Levis is his favorite quarterback in this draft. And so that's why there's been some connections there. So that's why I made this pick, you know, even keeping in mind that I have Will Levis as my, you know, fourth rated quarterback. Like, that's just, it just feels like, you know, if the Panthers have the opportunity to take Will Levis with Frank Reich there now, that they're going to. That's just kind of what it feels like. And so Bryce Young, is not one of the first two quarterbacks taken, and we're still in the first four
picks.
Is
there an Aaron Rodgers thing here where the camera's zooming in on his face? Like, why haven't you got
tight.
Picked yet?
It's tight, yeah. It's a tight camera pen. Yeah.
With the fifth overall pick, I have the Seattle Seahawks staying here. Like I said, no trades, but the fifth overall pick, I have the Seattle Seahawks taking Miles Murphy from Clemson. I'm a huge fan of his, just big physical player, and I think he's probably, if not the best, one of the very best athletes in this class. Mm-hmm. You say big players aren't athletes. This kid's rumored to have ran a 4.5. At his size, yep. That would be one of the craziest 40-yard dash times ever. He's about 6'5", 280. 280 pounds running a 4.5. The production was mainly there at Clemson. 6.5 sacks. 12 games is really nothing to bat your eye at. And for the Seahawks, like the fit here defensively. I thought that, you know, they're so young at in their secondary. I saw some people mocking corner here. I don't love it. I think D end really is kind of what they need a little bit more. I just like a lot of their younger corners. Tariq Woolen, I think who'd they take? Kobe Bryant last year.
Yep.
I think this pick really helps them out, and their future looks really good going with Miles Murphy at 5.
I also have him going edge, but going with a different guy, Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech. This kid is long. He's physical. He's got, I think I saw he's got 79 inch arms. That is an unbelievable length coming off the edge. I think he's 6'5", too. He can be stand up. He can put his hand in the dirt. I think he works in this defense. They have Uchenna Nwosu, who's coming off the edge, who had some production in that game against the Rams in Week 18 and against the Niners in that first half. So having a guy like Tyree Wilson, who could be better in 2 years than Uchenna Nwosu is right now, I think it's a really, really good spot for the Seahawks to be in with those run of quarterbacks, because they can get a really good player at 5. I'm going with Tyree Wilson.
At 6, the Detroit Lions take Tyree Wilson.
I like that.
Thought about going Will Levis here. That makes a lot of sense, but no, I'm going with Tyree Wilson.
I do like Tyree Wilson.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I thought you liked Will Levis.
No, I'm a big Tyree Wilson fan.
Okay, well, that's who the Lions take, edge Texas Tech. I don't have a lot to say about him. Frankly, this is one of probably 25 players I had in my mock draft that I have watched little to no tape of. But that's who the Lions get. And, obviously for you guys, it's a position of need. Just about every position is on the defensive end of the ball. So, opposite Aiden Hutchinson, it's interesting because I also thought about who's that one, big boy Houston.
James Houston.
Yeah. Who you guys got in the middle round. He had a really good year last year, but, I don't know how sustainable that is.
He's a third down rush specialist.
Okay.
And so if you can get a guy that has some positional versatility along the front and can kick inside, you can have James Houston be the edge and move.
What about Alif McNeil?
Alim?
Yeah.
He wasn't in many of our third down nickel packages.
Too fat.
Rushing. It was John Kaminsky. It was Aiden Hutchinson. It was James Houston. It was Romeo Okwara, I believe. For the most part, that was what our nickel was. Yeah. So,
This defense is absolutely poverty. They need help desperately, and they get some help.
No, this defense isn't poverty. They were actually a top, I believe, 12 defense in the back half of the season in that 12 game stretch to finish up the season.
Or were they over the whole season?
They were, yeah, but that's because their first. That's because their first was it 6, 7, 8 weeks. Was
you gotta
awful.
Play. Hey, you gotta play.
No, I'm just saying they're not a bad. They're not a poverty defense.
Okay.
If they had finished the season bad, I would agree with you. But they didn't. They finished the season really well.
So you like the trajectory?
Yes.
So you're taking quarterback.
One of my favorite prospects in this class is going number 6 to the Detroit Lions, Devon Witherspoon, corner out of Illinois. This guy, and I feel like calling him a corner is a little bit of a disservice. He can play anywhere on the defensive side of the ball. Why are you growling at me?
Because I thought you were going to take Anthony Richardson.
I thought about it. I did. I'm a huge AR-15 guy. I love him. I love the traits that he gives me. But the Lions have committed to taking or to sticking with Jared Goff this year. And I feel like a guy like Devon Witherspoon being there, he just fits perfectly what Aaron Glenn wants to do. He can play the Will Harris role. He can play the nickel. He can crash down on the run. The thing about the Lions defense is they really rely on their corners to make tackles in the run game. It is huge. The reason why Jeff Okuda was having such a great year to start the year is because he was tackling everybody. I mean, he was the reason that people weren't breaking away on huge runs. And then the Carolina game happens late in the season, and none of our DBs can tackle, which is why they ran for, 300 yards on us. Devon Witherspoon has no issues tackling. He is big. He's physical. He's mean. He is a perfect fit for this Detroit Lions defense.
With the 7th overall pick, I have the Las Vegas Raiders. Taking Paris Johnson Jr., tackle out of Ohio State. I don't know anything about offensive linemen, but I do know he's one of the best in the class. I think he got beat up pretty good by Aiden Hutchinson in the game last year. But, as it is, the Raiders need some O-line help, and they get some here with PJJ.
Number 7, with the Raiders not really having a plan at quarterback, I got him going Anthony Richardson. What? Why?
Ugh. What? Have him go to the Lions, man.
Listen, no. I would if he falls to either 18 or Brad Holmes says, hey, we're taking a quarterback. But he hasn't. This just feels like a Raiders pick. Like, this is a Raiders quarterback, right? Kind of gives you the Jamarcus Russell vibes. He's big, he's fast, he's got a cannon of an arm. I do think that Anthony Richardson is better as a prospect than Jamarcus Russell was. I think it kind of works with Josh McDaniels being able to have, kind of a quarterback that can do a little bit more than just sit in the pocket. It'll make it a little bit easier of a transition for him into the NFL, having a talent like Devontae Adams who can get open and you don't have to put the ball perfectly on the spot every time for him to catch it. You got Darren Waller at tight end. I just think that this would be a really good fit for Anthony Richardson. Now, whether or not it actually works with Josh McDaniels, I don't know. But I think that if Anthony Richardson were to go to the Raiders, I think that this is one of those spots that would just be really good for his development.
I like it. I have Brian Bercy, 8 overall to the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta's liked taking Clemson players, especially along that D-line in the past. I think this is a good pick for him. I love Brian Bercy. I think he was, in the games he played, especially his freshman year, I think it was in 2020, he was absolutely dominant. I thought he could have been a number one overall pick. Just struggled with some injury stuff, didn't get out on the field as much, and I think it was a very crowded defensive line the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But and that limited his production a little bit. But I really like him, and I think it's a good pick for the Falcons team, which kind of struggled to play some defense last season. So this is a good pick for them.
Number 8, this is where the Bryce Young fall stops. He's going to the Atlanta Falcons. They get insanely lucky here. Desmond Ridder is not.
Quarterback 4?
No, he's not quarterback 4. I told you this.
I know, but like, is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, not clickbait. I feel like to me, the Raiders would take Anthony Richardson over Bryce Young. It just feels like a Raiders thing to do, right?
Yep.
Well,
I think if he falls to the Lions at 6, the Lions.
I think there's absolutely a world where they do take him. Yeah. I really do.
But I didn't even think about that. I just thought about AR-15.
There is a world where they do take him. But I just don't know, will they have him rated on their board highly enough to take it as not a position of need? I mean,
I don't know. He's a smaller quarterback. I don't know how big his hands will be, but like that could be like maybe he could learn from like a fellow small hands.
That's a good
hands
point,
guy, right?
But yeah, the Falcons get insanely lucky here, getting Bryce Young at 8. I just feel like Arthur Smith being able to use a guy like Bryce Young in his offense. We saw him they like to run the ball. Bryce Young can run the ball, but he's also really good at passing, much better than Desmond Ridder and or Marcus Mariota. That offense could go from really bad. When you look at the weapons they had, they were not great. It's passable. It's passable with Bryce Young at quarterback, and they might be able to make some noise in an AFC or an NFC South that is bad. It just straight up is bad. So it was very weird to have this happen, considering the Lions could have taken him, the Seahawks could have taken him. Like, there's a bunch of teams that just decided, we're just not going to take quarterback right now because we like the guy we have at the current moment. And so Bryce Young at 8.
At 9, I have Anthony Richardson Jr., quarterback at Florida. Okay, so this is an interesting one. So, going back to last season, we had a great debate over, you know, if Dan Mullen was a bad coach because he wouldn't start Anthony Richardson Jr.
He's starting Emory Jones over
instead
him.
Of Emory Jones. And so because of that, I was kind of an Anthony Richardson Jr. hater. Well, the more I've seen of this kid and the more I've seen him play, he really is one of my favorite prospects in this whole class. I have him going to the Panthers at number 9. The traits are out of this world. He is, I think, the very biggest quarterback in this class. I think 6'4 is what they have him listed at. I think he's more like 6'5, quite honestly.
He's huge.
Yeah, and then physically big, kind of built like Cam Newton was at Auburn and, you know, with the Panthers there. So there's that connection. And just has an absolutely wicked arm. So there's that. Throws an absolute, you know, fastball. Frozen rope. And then the biggest thing is, you know, the speed is pretty much out of this world for a player at that size. So wouldn't be surprised at all if he runs 4.5, even 4.4. Just flat out, you know, running threat. And today's game is really huge. Obviously, there are issues. You know, can he be accurate with the football? Can he make the right decisions? You know, we saw him as a passer for the first half of that season. It was ugly.
Yeah, it was bad.
You know, as a runner, he was incredible. But when teams forced him to throw, there were some ugly spots. And then certain games, he would look incredible. The Tennessee game looked fantastic. Yep. You know, I think, what was that game? Maybe LSU or some, I forget what team he was playing, but that two-point conversion play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Oh,
LSU.
My God. That was one of the coolest plays I've seen from a quarterback last season in all of college football. So really impressed with him there. But it's just got to be a matter of consistency. Of my ranking, he's currently number 3. It's very close with him and CJ Stroud. And I might move him up to 2 depending on the combine, depending on
I was telling Obert this. Anthony Richardson might be my quarterback 1 depending on what team I am. If I'm the Giants, I'm taking Anthony Richardson over everybody else because I feel confident that Brian Daboll can turn him. Because I think Anthony Richardson has the highest ceiling of anybody in this class, and I think that
I do too.
If he gets Brian Daboll, there's more than a 50% chance that he hits that ceiling, which you're talking about a top 3 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, that is unbelievable. So I think that Anthony Richardson is going to climb up some boards. I really do.
Yeah.
I think over the course of these next couple months, I would not be surprised if you saw teams being like, well, what if we take Anthony Richardson 1? What if we trade up to get Anthony Richardson? So there's that, which is why I thought about taking him at 6 for the Lions. Like, I really do love this kid and his work ethic. He wants to learn. So there's that. The Chicago Bears finally make their pick at number 9. They've traded down. They finally make their pick. They go Peter.
They're going to be pretty mad over there. Those Chicago fans have been waiting, you know, for an hour now.
I know. It's crazy.
They want to make a pick.
It's crazy, but they get a lot of picks.
All right.
Right? And their team is kind of barren of talent. They go Peter Skoronski, tackle out of Northwestern. To me, he's the best, most pro-ready tackle in this class. And for Justin Fields to get a guy, a stalwart that they can rely on, put him at left tackle, and just be protected. Like, their offensive line was awful. He was getting hammered all the time. Peter Skoronski, because you could go a couple different ways. I still had Brian Brisee on the board. I still had a couple other interior guys on the board. But I just felt like they needed to address offense. There's even a possibility of them going wide receiver here at 9. That's why I traded out of 4, because there were still quarterbacks on the board. And it felt like, you know, there's really no positional value here for any of the guys for their team specifically. But Peter Skoronski at 9 felt right. Felt like the right pick. So
with the 10th overall pick, the Philadelphia Eagles take Brian Branch. Listen, I actually haven't watched a lot of Brian Branch. I saw him in the Sugar Bowl. He's a bit undersized, but in the Sugar Bowl, you know, I thought he was making a lot of good plays. So, you know, kind of like him. And then for the Eagles, I think, you know, if there is really any hole, I think CJ Gardner-Johnson is set to be a free agent this year, so they could use an extra safety, and for an already stacked roster, this is a really good fit for them.
10, I have him going Brian Brisee. This is, I mean, a perfect, you know, Fletcher.
That's what I had him going in my other mock.
Perfect Fletcher Cox replacement. I mean, you're just talking about making a great D-line even better. Talk about Jordan Davis and Brian Brisee in the middle.
Yep.
The one issue, because you already hit on Brian Brisee, so I'm going to make this relatively short. The one issue I have with Brian Brisee, and it's kind of a nitpick just because this year was, it was a really tough year for him. You know, he had some issues with his family. Unfortunately, his sister passed away. And so he had a lot that he dealt with, and he still came out, played with his team, played in the bowl game. And so he's a really, really good kid. The effort on some of the plays, it was, you know, it was lacking. And the reason I'm saying it's nitpicking is because we saw his freshman year, we saw sophomore year, where you saw the effort. But this year, there was a couple plays where he could have made the tackle had he just given, you know, a little bit more, and instead the guys were running past him. I know what he's capable of. He's got the traits to do so. It's just about getting in the right situation where he's going to get pushed, and I think this is it.
With the 11th overall pick, the Tennessee Titans select Peter Skoronski, tackle, Northwestern. This feels kind of like Tennessee to me. Just big, physical, gritty, you know, Northwestern player going to Tennessee with Mike Vrabel. You know, I'm actually not sure what they're going to be doing offensively. I think they recently fired their offensive coordinator, so it'll be interesting to see what direction they go into. But whatever it is for their, you know, I mean, their offense was terrible. They need help along that O-line, especially if they want to continue to run the ball with Derrick Henry. Yep. So I think this is a good pick and good situational fit.
I also have them going tackle, but it's probably a name that you guys aren't going to be too familiar with. And you might be, because he was an Ohio State tackle. It's not Paris Johnson. I did think about Paris Johnson, but then I was like, well, he's not even the best run blocker on his team. He's a better pass blocker. But DeJuan Jones, the 6'9 behemoth for Ohio State, is going to go here.
6'9. Put this man on a basketball court.
On PFF, he is, I think, like 88th. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. And the reason why I'm saying this, he is dominating everybody at the Senior Bowl. Like, and unfortunately, he had to leave early because of an injury, but he is destroying dudes at the, like, we're talking about Andre Carter, Isaiah Foskey. Like, he is just eating them alive. And there's no reason that he can't do it in the NFL. He's got the longest arms ever, ever measured at the Senior Bowl. And I would imagine it's going to be the longest ever at the combine. We're talking, I think they were, I don't want to get this wrong, 80, I'm going to double check this because I don't want to get this wrong. He is a freaking dude. And I was always like messing with Mike because they would show him and I'd be like, what do you need a 6'8", 6'9 guy for? And he's kind of got the, Patriots tackle's name. It's something Brown. Dwayne Brown. Yeah, he's got Dwayne Brown to him. He's Dwayne Brown, 6'9". Let's see, arm length. DeJuan Jones, ridiculously long arm span at the Senior Bowl. He's 6'8". He's 6'8", 360. How about that?
Big we got boy. Here?
89 and a half inches. 7 feet, 5 inches is his wingspan. That is unbelievable. That's exactly what you want in your tackle. And he knows how to use it well, too. So I have DeJuan Jones going to the Titans at 11. He's going to be a riser. You're going to see him rise a lot here.
12, Quentin Johnson to the Houston Texans. We've talked a lot about Quentin Johnson just from college football stuff and his abilities, but I'll touch on it again. I mean, speed is absolutely there after the catch. He's one of the best wide receivers in this class, and for his size, it's pretty unprecedented. I think 6'3", 6'4", and after the catch, we saw it in the Michigan game, he is fast, make guys miss. You know, if there is a concern about Quentin Johnston, and I don't have many, but the concern is up in the air contested catches, he is very lukewarm, especially for a guy his size.
And he's 6'4". Like, I was like, you know, because I had seen a couple of his catches throughout the season, and then I actually started watching his tape, and it was like, wait, really this isn't what I remembered,
right? And with a lot of bigger wide receivers, it's like, you know, like last year you watch Drake London stuff, and you know, 25% of his catches are just throw it up to him, yep, and just watch him go get a ball. It's just not really there with Quentin Johnston, but you know, him as a wide receiver, I still think there is definitely a spot for him in this league. And, you know, frankly, I don't know how much, you know, DK Metcalf goes up and gets balls. Yeah. So, you know, I think he can be a very good player, and I think people will probably over-criticize him and, you know, force themselves out of him being a first-round wide receiver or whatever the situation might be. And that'll be a huge mistake because I think this kid can play. So 12 to the Texans. Need a lot of help, especially we don't know what the future is on Brandon Cooks. Mm-hmm. Need some help for Bryce Young. We saw how important it is to get a very good wide receiver for your young quarterback. Bengals had the same thing going on with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I think this works out really well for him at 12.
With D'Amico Ryans, I'm going to attack defense again. Give me Bryant Branch here to the Texans. If you pair Bryant Branch with Jalen Petrie, we're talking about the most versatile safety duo in the NFL. Jalen Petrie came out of Baylor last year. He was an absolute athletic freak. He played fantastic in his rookie season for the Texans. You give D'Amico Ryans two guys that can kind of play like Hufanga did, crash down, play the run, but also be a little bit, cover guys as well. I feel like, the only issue is that these two guys don't cover, like the center field. They're not your typical free safeties. They are truly like hybrids in the sense that they will both play the one run really well, but you will need some help on the back end. I just think that you can't pass up on a guy as talented as Bryant Branch, who I really fell in love with him during the Sugar Bowl. I mean, he was making all the plays that you could ask him to. Then I was able to watch his tape. He's just really physical. He crashes down. He makes his presence known. The one area is, the back end coverage.
With the 13th overall pick, the New York Jets select Broderick Jones, probably the only tackle I know anything about. I watched a Theo Ash breakdown on him, and there's a lot to like. He's a bigger player, but he's also very fundamentally sound for his size. With the Jets, I like the pick. That offense was absolutely poverty. They need help. I thought about quarterback. There's one on the board still that they could have gone after, but I think this opportunity is too good to pass on, so I am going Broderick Jones with the 13th overall pick.
Yeah, and because there are no quarterbacks left, this was pretty easy. Paris Johnson still on the board. I think he fits them. He fits exactly what they need. You got George Fant there. I don't know what's going to happen with Mekhi Becton, but they desperately need some help at tackle. And Paris Johnson is the guy to block for Aaron Rodgers. No, if they traded for Aaron Rodgers, they wouldn't have this pick.
Yep. With the 14th overall pick, one I'm excited about, the Patriots select Jordan Addison. This one's fun to me. Probably a bit higher than everyone else has Jordan Addison. I like him. I don't love him. I don't know how he compares against some of the players in last year's class, but I do think he's a straight up baller. My comp would be for, he's really, the wide receiver I know best. And I think he's reminds me a lot of Hollywood Brown coming out. I don't know if he is, I think he did have some, catching issues at Pittsburgh, but really, really solid route runner this year at USC. And he's got absolute, killer speed on some of his deep routes. So I like this going to the New England Patriots. Kind of a weird fit for a team that doesn't love,
taking wide receiver, right. Unless it's N'Keal Harry
or, Wes Welker.
I was talking about the first round. I was going to say,
I like this for them, and Mac Jones gets some much needed help at a skill possession, and we'll see what they do with wide receiver. They have a bunch of kind of mid players. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jacoby Myers was on my fantasy team last year, and then he had a pretty notorious incident that cost them the game in Vegas. Yep. So we'll see what they do. Kendrick Bourne as well, but I think they need an X factor, and Jordan Addison provides it.
At 14, Lucas Van Ness goes off the board.
It's a good fit.
This kid, and this just goes to show you, I guess, how good that Iowa defense is. He was a rotational piece for Iowa, and then you actually go back and watch the plays he was playing. You go back and watch some of his tape at some of these the East-West Shrine Bowl, Senior Bowl type stuff. The kid can play straight up play football, and once everybody's eyes got on his tape, I've been seeing all the draft guys that I follow. They just speak so highly of Lucas Van Ness. He's physical like an Iowa player usually is, but he's also versatile. He can play along the front. If you want him to play three, if you want him to play five, he can play seven. He can do it all. And are you kidding me with Bill Belichick? Come on. I mean, and Gerard Mayo calling the defense, who did a fantastic job last year. This just feels like too good of a fit, and I couldn't pass it up.
Why was he a rotational guy? I don't like that.
I don't know. It was so weird. Like because I was watching I was following one of my guys on Twitter, and he's like, Lucas Van Ness didn't play a ton at Iowa, and I'm not I don't know why. Like he wasn't an every down player, but every time he got in there, he was making plays. I don't know if he you know hated Brian Ferentz, and then Kirk was like, okay, you're not.
Yep.
Sit your butt down. I don't know what it was, but this kid's gonna rise up draft boards.
With the 15th overall pick, I have the Packers selecting Michael Mayer. I think
I like that.
This one's, I don't know what they'll do with Robert Tonyan, but I don't think it really matters. I think last year going Christian Watson and how good he can be prevents them from going with another wide receiver here, especially considering the fact of how, you know, how little they like to go wide receiver. So I think they go Michael Mayer, they get another pass catcher, and a good one. I mean, we saw him at Notre Dame. He was pretty much the only reason why that offense was afloat in the first 8 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Pretty much had all of their production, and, you know, some of the most production you'll see from a tight end prospect from a pass catching standpoint in a very long time. He was very good at Notre Dame, and I think it's a perfect fit out there in Green Bay, who desperately needs another pass catcher. So Michael Mayer, 15.
I have him going wide receiver. I still have that guy on the board. Can you imagine a duo of Christian Watson and Quentin Johnston? How do you defend against that? Both guys can straight out fly. They're big, they're tall, they don't contested catch well, which is odd. They're kind of like the same.
Christian Watson doesn't player. Catch well at all.
They're kind of almost the same player, but at the same time, they're insanely fast. All you have to do is get them the ball,
right?
And they're going to make plays. I think that could be dangerous offensively for the Packers. You know, something they haven't done in, you know, every year we talk about this. They haven't drafted a wide receiver in the first round in how many years? I think you can't pass on Quentin Johnston. I did think about tight end, but at the end of the day, I think Quentin Johnston is, you know, you can't pass on a guy that has those kind of traits.
16, sorry. The Commanders take Devon Witherspoon. I do like this player a lot. He played very well at Illinois. A couple of questions about system DB. Ryan Walters, I mean, he just absolutely churns those guys out. But, you know, I watched him in the Purdue game, and he did a fantastic job against Charlie Jones, and most of it was just one-on-one, man-to-man, just, you know, strapping him up. So, He was a flat-out baller at Illinois, the Commanders get a good fit there at 16.
Yeah, I also have him going corner, but I have him going Christian Gonzalez. Devon's obviously off the board. Christian Gonzalez is my CB2 at this point. He's very fast. He's got really good ball skills. You know, the one thing you can question is, can he get it done in the run game? Because coverage-wise, I mean, he is as good as they come, and he's going to run probably like a 4.35. He's got some straight-up speed. You know, this was his first year at Oregon, and he played really damn well. So I think Washington gets a good one here.
17, I have the Steelers selecting Christian Gonzalez. Haven't watched a second of Christian Gonzalez play, but corner, and it fits the Steelers' sort of need. So,
I have him going corner, too, and it's kind of some familial ties here. I got him going Joey Porter Jr. I feel like Pittsburgh fans would love this. They would love either Joey or Jordan Addison. And I feel like you need a corner that gives you the skill set of Joey Porter Jr. And he was originally my cornerback one. I loved Joey Porter Jr. throughout this season watching him. He is very handsy. Like, that is where he can get beat, is that he's a press guy. He presses really well. But he also grabs, and we saw some of that in the Purdue game. We saw some of that in the Ohio State game. He does grab a little bit, but he's physical. He plays the run well. He's a man guy. His instincts aren't exactly there. There's a couple times where you just wish that he would have made that snap second decision and went for a ball instead of playing a receiver. So he's got to work on some stuff there, but I just love his physicality, and I think he is Pittsburgh through and through, obviously going from Penn State to Pittsburgh. A lot of you know, connections to that organization. I think that would be a good fit.
With the 18th overall pick, I have the Detroit Lions going Will Levis, quarterback. Just kidding. Did your heart drop?
No, I knew you weren't going to go. Because you said you didn't know where he was going to go.
Yeah. Joey Porter Jr., corner, like Penn State. Everything you said, listen, I mean, as soon as we saw him week one
yep.
against Purdue, he was very, very good. And then, you know, you know, watch a lot of Penn State football, unfortunately. But he played well all throughout the year. You know, really good physical corner, can also make plays in the run game. Yep. And I think this is a perfect fit for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I do. And you know, for me, it goes for fits for defensive for the Lions at corner. It goes Devon Witherspoon and then it goes Joey Porter Jr. Yep. I think that those two guys, if you were able to put them in that Lions defense, I think it's a scheme fit through and through. 18, though, I have the Detroit Lions attacking edge. So we just have our we have our things flipped. Nolan Smith out of Georgia. So the thing about Nolan Smith is he got hurt this year. He doesn't have the insane production that, you know, some of these other guys had this past season. He gets hurt in the middle of the year. But you got to remember, Georgia didn't have a pass rush. It was really Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith. That was it. And once Nolan Smith went down, their pass rush suffered. And then they were able to get a couple freshman guys in there towards the end that are like, well, where was this kid this entire year? Why wasn't he playing? And it was like, okay. But Nolan Smith has some of the most athletic abilities of any of the defenders in this. I think he might, when these edge defenders test, I think Nolan Smith might be the most athletic. He's got some insane bend. I mean, there was a clip I saw that Theo Ash put out there. He said Nolan Smith might be better than any of the edge rushers in last year's class. I think that's taking it a little bit far. But then he showed a picture of Nolan Smith has a tackle pinned on his inside shoulder, and he is it looks like he's almost parallel to the ground. Like he has some insane bend at the hips. He's able to get around those tight edges. I think adding him to this defense, I think, would be huge. You go from an okay defense last year, not poverty, an okay defense last year. You add some more talent through the draft. You add some more talent through free agency. And all of a sudden, I think AG, you know, it finally clicks and you don't have that early season. I don't even want to call it a slump, that dumpster fire. And it's seamless throughout the entire season.
19 of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going Darnell Washington.
Yeah.
Like this one a lot. One of the biggest tight end prospects I've ever seen, quite frankly. 6'7", 269 pounds, absolute beast. And, you know, you think of, you know, tight end like that, it's like, oh, okay, he's going to just be a monster in the run game. No, he can make a lot of plays in the passing game for you. And he did for the for the Georgia Bulldogs. And being right there with Brock Bowers, you know, not an easy thing to do. So, very good pass catcher. You'll have to teach him to be a monster in the run game because he's really not yet, but he will be at his size.
If you can get a good tight end coach to get him to do it.
Yeah. I mean, hell, I remember the Browns took David Njoku and his whole thing was, oh, he's an elite pass catcher, but he can't run block for shit. And then, you know, gave him a year's time and just like that, shabam.
Yeah. And it's almost like, you know, it takes coaching to do that. Eric Ebron could not block to save his life when he entered the league, and he could not block to save his life when he exited the league.
Right.
He never developed it, and I think a lot of that has to do because he never wanted to. If there's a will there from the player, which David Njoku had, which it looks like Darnell Washington will have, then it'll figure itself out.
And I'm confident it will. So the Bucs get a really good pick there at 19. One of my favorite tight ends in the class. So I like that for the Buccaneers.
The Bucs are in a really weird spot now that Tom Brady is retired. Their roster isn't as good as it was when they won the Super Bowl. That's to be, you know, expected, right? They went 8-9 this year. They were 12-4 that year and won the Super Bowl. So, like, it's not going to be the same. I don't really know where you go here. There's a lot of positions in need. I think defense you could probably stay away from. So it's the offensive side of the ball. Without a quarterback, I didn't feel comfortable going tight end just yet, which is weird because I only had one tight end going in the first round, but there's going to be more than one tight end going in the first round. And when we actually come to the draft, there might be four tight ends taken in the first round. So I went with Osiris Torrance, the guard out of Florida. He is also at the Senior Bowl right now. He's having a really good week, but he had a really good season overall. He's far and away the best interior offensive lineman in a very bad interior offensive line class. So that's why I think the Bucs go with him here. Positional value, this tight end class is really freaking deep. If they want a great tight end, they can get one later. But if they want a great interior offensive lineman, you can't get one later. This is one of the weakest positions in this year's class, whereas tight end is probably the strongest, if not the second strongest. So,
With the 20th overall pick, I have the Seattle Seahawks going with Siaki Ika, interior defensive lineman, pretty much D tackle out of Baylor.
He's a nose tackle.
Yeah, absolutely just huge physical player.
Does this mean they move on from Puna Ford?
Don't know. But as a absolute beast up front, he looked really good in the Senior Bowl so far. I think this fits well for the Seahawks.
Listen, I love Siaki Ika. I really do. He's nothing more than a run stopper.
And so is Jordan Davis.
I thought Jordan Davis had a little bit of pass rush upside, though. And I don't think Siaki does. And we will see, because I didn't see it at all last year or this season. The problem I have with that is they have Puna Ford, right? Who's exactly what Siaki is. Puna Ford is exactly who Siaki Ika is. So I feel like that would kind of be a weird pick for them. At 20, I'm going to have him go JL Skinner, the safety out of Boise State. This kid is a freak of nature. He, 6'4", 218 pounds, coming out of, Boise State, or coming into Boise State. He was only a 3-star. He has flat out played this entire season, his entire career at Boise State. He's hybrid. He comes down, he plays hard in the run game. That's kind of what the Seahawks, you know, he's kind of a Jamal Adams-esque player in the sense that, you know, he's not going to give you a ton of coverage, but across the, in the front seven, across the line of scrimmage, he's going to wreak some havoc for you. I think he's got a little bit of pass rush upside to him. He can blitz for you. He can play that kind of big nickel. He's got the speed to do so. I just think that in this system, JL Skinner is going to be a great fit for the Seahawks.
With the 21st overall pick, the Chargers take, Osiris Torrance. They need help in their run game. I think this is a pretty good pick for them, and their run game, hopefully, because that was part of it. You know, as much as we criticize Austin Ekeler, there was just pretty much zero rush lanes to go through. So better on their own line with Osiris Torrance.
I'm going to go with Jordan Addison. I think that the thing that the Chargers are missing the most, and I talked about it ad nauseum. I feel like I just kept beating a dead horse. They need a speedster. They need a guy who can stretch the field, but not with size. And Jordan Addison, we saw it at USC. He's able to run those deep crossers. He's able to run those go balls. And with a guy like Justin Herbert, and now having Kellen Moore, I feel like that this is going to be a perfect marriage. You're going to have, because at some point, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams aren't going to be there. With Mike Williams' injury concerns, with Keenan Allen's age, they're both making $20 million. One of them might have to go this offseason. And it's unfortunate, but I would probably bet that it's Keenan Allen just because of the age. And so then you add Jordan Addison, who can kind of do similar things to Keenan Allen. Keenan's probably better as a route runner. I mean, that's really what Keenan does best, is the top of his routes are some of the best in the league. But Jordan's a better yak guy, which they desperately need, someone who can do something after the catch. You're going to see a lot of wide receiver from me for the Chargers in the first round, unless I feel like, because I do think they need a speedster, unless I think they can get a guy like Parker Washington or Jalin Hyatt in the second round. It's going to be wide receiver in the first round for me, because as bad as their offensive line is, their weapons do not fit Justin Herbert's skill set.
With the 22nd overall pick, the Baltimore Ravens select Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Like this one a lot. They obviously have a need at wide receiver. Even with Rashad Bateman coming back, their wide receiver room is absolutely just buns, terrible.
Yeah, it's not good.
And Jaxon Smith-Njigba kind of comes in as a guy, pure route runner, you know, had a ton of production last year, dropped off this year. But, you know, it was really just because injuries, didn't really want to play. But, hey, man, if he's focused on the NFL and wants to play in the NFL, this could absolutely work. Yep. So we'll see how it goes for him. But I think the option of taking a wide receiver, and there's still, you know, some very good wide receivers on the board at this point, is too good for the Ravens to pass up, and they get a pretty good one in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So, and, you know, say what you will about him, you know, serious concerns about not playing in, you know, the Peach Bowl and kind of, you know, all that stuff. But dude balled last year, absolutely balled out. And so I think this is a pretty good pick for him.
Yeah, I think this wide receiver class is very interesting. It's not as good as last year's, but it might be deeper. Might be deeper. It feels like there's a lot of guys that aren't going to be your maybe typical wide receiver one, but they can be very, very good wide receiver twos for your team. So I'm interested to see how they kind of get drafted in relation to past seasons. With that being said, I also have the Ravens going wide receiver, a wide receiver that I really love too. He's my wide receiver three, but I would be tempted to move him up. It's Zay Flowers out of Boston College. This kid is, he's dynamic, and there's really no other way to put it. I get shades of Tyler Lockett from him. I really do. With the way he's able to stretch the field, with the way he's able to avoid contact, avoid taking the big hits, he's got really good hands. Kind of gives me Tyler Lockett vibes. Tyler Lockett went in the second round to the Seahawks, and he's had a very successful career. If you give Lamar Jackson somebody outside of Rashad Bateman, who is kind of your possession receiver, and is better at than Hollywood at yak stuff, because Hollywood was just kind of fast. Zay Flowers isn't the top end speed that Hollywood is, but he is a much better, you know, agility guy. He can make a couple people miss. I feel like he'll be more important in the short to intermediate stuff, and he can still push the ball down the field. So,
23 Kali Ringo goes to the Minnesota Vikings. They like their Georgia DPs. Lewis seen last year. They double up here with Kali Ringo. You know, his stuff was really good, and I thought he played really well against TCU. Had some good moments in the college football playoff, but he's getting some hate right now. I think that ends right here with the Vikings picking him up in a defense that was really one of the worst in the league last year. So I think this is pretty much an automatic upgrade.
Yeah. Spoiler, I don't have Keeley going in my first round. He's fast. That's really all he gives you. Seriously. I mean, he's not a great fan. What?
I said you were a big fan.
I was, and then I actually watched his tape. He gets burned a lot. Uh-oh. A lot. It's tough. I went back and looked at the Tennessee game. He got burned a couple times by Jalen Hyatt. And it's not just, you know, he misses on the press. He's just not fast enough, which is weird because, you know, he's going to probably run 4.32, something like that.
He's fast, but he's just...
He's not fast. Like, the one good thing the thing he's best at, he can't keep up with Jameson Williams. He can't keep up with Jalen Hyatt. So it's weird because he is a speedster, but I don't know. I feel like he's got the tools. It's just about figuring out what to do with them, because he did come in as the eighth best corner of all time. He came into Georgia. So the talent's there. There's no question about it. But at 23, I have the fall of Miles Murphy stopping and the Minnesota Vikings take him at 23. You know, it's actually not that crazy. A lot of the guys I follow say that Miles Murphy is probably... He's not, you know, one of the best edges in this class. They don't like, and it's kind of weird because how can you not like a guy who's 6'5", 280, and is likely going to test through the roof? Kind of feels like Traylon Walker, right? The production, you mentioned it was 6.5 sacks in 12 games, but like...
Loaded D-line, no less.
It's true, but it
same
felt
thing
like...
with Tyree Wilson, by the way.
It felt like something was missing. I don't know. It felt like something was missing, like... He just didn't play the run very well. It wasn't, you know, it was maybe some effort stuff. I really do think that Miles Murphy can be a great player. I just didn't see it a ton at Clemson consistently enough to be like, yeah, he's a top 10 pick. I saw someone say that he's not even a first round pick.
I disagree with that.
So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he does fall. I think that a strong combine will help him. But
I saw him make plays at Clemson.
Yeah, he did make plays. But like, you only saw him when he made plays, because when you go back and watch the tape, you look at him every single play. And so when his name isn't getting called, you see the missteps. You see the, okay, well, maybe his hand placement's not great. But of course, when he's getting the sacks, you're going to be like, yeah, Miles Murphy looks like a great player, because then they're going to replay it and show you the sick move that he did. And so that's why, you know, when we watched the games, like a guy like Joey Porter, who when he made the great plays, it was like, yes, that's awesome. When I went back and watched, it was like, okay, some of the stuff that I saw during the games, it overshadowed the stuff they did wrong because they didn't say his name for it. Okay. So,
24, I have the Jags going with Luke Finesse. The Jaguars, obviously, Josh Allen's a stud. You know, I just asked you, I don't know how much longer they'll have him, so that'll be an interesting thing to see. Don't know much about Luke Van Ness. He didn't play very much. Can't blame me. So, you know, that's where I have him going, but hopefully it's a good pick for him.
I have Cam Smith going 24 to the Jags. I think Shaq Griffin is probably on his way out. in Jacksonville. Cam Smith is one of those guys who he might not be the, you know, highest rated corner for anybody, and I don't think he will be, but he's not going to be the lowest either. He's always going to stick in that middle ground. He's an athletic player. At South Carolina he was fine. He's kind of undersized for a corner class that's big and physical. He's 6 foot, 188. He really is just a coverage guy. But you put him on the other side of Tyson Campbell, who is a bit bigger, more physical. I think that's a pretty good corner duo. And I think the Jags really don't miss a step after Shaq's gone. I don't remember Shaq's contract. I don't remember how much more he has left. But I do think that DB is something that the Jags need to target, and preferably not safety. So,
With the 25th overall pick, the Giants take Zay Flowers, wide receiver out of Boston College.
Oh, that would be a fun pick.
I think, with the Giants, there's really one glaring need, and it's just offensive playmakers. Saquon Barkley's great, but, I don't know how much he can stay healthy. And then beyond that, it's a matter of just getting anybody at wide receiver for Daniel Jones. Not that I'm the biggest, Daniel Jones fan, but they didn't have a lot of great wide receivers there at all. They got open, but, I don't know how much of that is the Brian Daboll system. So I think Zay Flowers, that's a good fit for the Giants, who desperately need a stud wide receiver.
Yeah, and I thought about going wide receiver here for them too, but at the end of the day, I was like, you can't pass on Michael Mayer if you're the Giants here. In a system where Daboll, when he was with the Bills, they used Dawson Knox a lot. Getting a Michael Mayer who's coming in and probably as a top 10 tight end right away in the NFL. And that's the weird thing about the tight end. Him and Dalton Kincaid, and I actually have Kincaid as my tight end one. I think those two guys can come in and legitimately day one be top 10 tight ends. The weird thing is I didn't have Kincaid going in the first round just because it's tight end, and I didn't know how teams were really going to draft it at the back end of the first round with some of the guys that were still on the board. But Michael Mayer is big, physical. He's a great route runner. He uses his hands. He blocks well. Although with Kincaid, and when I watched him, it was like, he doesn't wow you, right? It's not like he blows you away. Like Michael Mayer made some insane plays. Dalton Kincaid was just like, I'm going to get open, I'm going to catch the ball, and all of a sudden he's got 12 catches for 160 yards. It really felt like Travis Kelce. Yeah. That's really what Dalton Kincaid felt like. It was like, he doesn't do anything special, but somehow he's always open.
Yeah. 26, I've got the Cowboys taking Trenton Simpson. I really like this pick. I think Trenton Simpson, at least from a measurables perspective, reminds me a lot of Micah Parsons,
yeah,
who we all know the Cowboys had great success with. So, and obviously at linebacker, I said it's really two positions the Cowboys need to hammer down. It's linebacker and wide receiver. We'll see what they do with Anthony Brown, and that could become a position of need. But as of right now, I don't really see it as one. And so as it is right now, it's really just the wide receiver and linebacker positions. But I didn't really have any great wide receivers still available. I don't love going Bijan Robinson, which I've seen mocked a billion times. So I think Trenton Simpson's the right way to go, and I think this is a home run pick for him.
I have the Cowboys going with Jackson Smith and Jigba. He was still on the board. It just felt like a kind of a no-brainer at this point. I didn't have linebacker going in my first round. Trenton Simpson probably would be the only one that does. I have seen Nick Herbig, the linebacker out of Wisconsin, as a possible other option to go, but I just feel like it's probably unlikely that we see too many linebackers go in the first round, and Jackson Smith and Jigbo still on the board. So slot guy that like you said, had a fantastic season. His was a sophomore year, didn't play much this year, but has the hands, is able to get open, has some yak potential. He is what he is. He's a slot guy. And I've seen a lot of comparisons to Amon-Ra St. Brown. He went in the fourth round. Will Jackson Smith and Jigbo go in the fourth round? I don't think so. But, that should tell you, kind of what he is.
27, I have Bijan Robinson going to the Buffalo Bills. I think for the Bills, this is exactly what they need. They need a three-down running back who can be, just an absolute stalwart back there, an absolute stud. That's what they need, because they don't even have in my opinion, an RB2 that can really get the job done and make plays for you. They need a difference maker at that running back position. That's what they're getting in Bijan. I don't think he's a generational running back that you should take in the top 10 or take in the top 20 even. I have him going 27. I saw him all the time at Texas. My concerns, you know, were made valid. I just... My issue always was when I saw Roschon Johnson, I saw Bijan Robinson, I didn't see a huge difference. And you know what? Roschon's probably going to go in the first two rounds, if not the third round. So, you know, maybe that's just having two absolute stud running backs. But at the end of the day, there wasn't a huge, you know, difference there. But I do think Bijan Robinson's going to be a great running back in the league. There are a lot of great running backs, but I do think he will be an absolute stud for the Bills. And this is a perfect fit for him. So, you know, I think that offense becomes really dynamic once Bijan gets there, and it's a good pick.
I have the Bills going with safety Antonio Johnson out of Texas A&M. Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer aren't going to be able to do it every single year. And with a team that needed safety depth desperately, they're going to get it here. Antonio Johnson was a really good player for Texas A&M. You know, the safety position this year is kind of weird. I feel like Brian Branch and JL Skinner are probably your two guys that are going to be in the first round. After that, I don't really know how many first-round guys you're going to see, but it feels like Antonio Johnson is one that could slip in there. And for a team that is, A, has two aging safeties, and B, doesn't have a ton of depth, I just feel like that this was a good pick rather than a running back when there's a lot of other needs that this team has.
28. I have the Bengals finally addressing one of their, you know, gaping needs, tackle Darnell Wright, Tennessee. Don't know anything about offensive linemen, but I know that they need help, just more permanent help along that offensive line. Even if Lyle Collins is going to be the starter going forward, that's fine. Get Darnell Wright, get an offensive lineman, improve the running game, and God, please protect Joe Burrow. And you know what? As much money as they spent on Lyle Collins, there were games and moments where he got absolutely killed. And, you know, he is still the, you know, run-blocking power he was in Dallas. But at the end of the day, when he needs to move laterally, it's like, oh, my God, close your eyes. But good pick for the Bengals who, you know, address an offensive line need.
I thought about going with Cody Mauch here, the tackle out of North Dakota State. You'll see his name probably move up some boards as well. He's at the Senior Bowl. He's having a really up and down week right now, but the ups have been really impressive. The scouts want him to play inside because he doesn't have the tackle size of the NFL, so he probably is going to move into the interior offensive line, really help beef that up, that position up a little bit. He might end up being a first round pick, but with all that being said, I'm going with Broderick Jones. You know, Broderick is my, I think, OT4 right now. He's just big, physical. You know, he's okay in the past, but he really is a run blocker at heart, and you know, he can learn to be a pass blocker. He might not be the elite pass blocker that Paris Johnson is or that, you know, Peter Skoronski is. And I don't even know if I'd call Peter Skoronski an elite pass blocker, but it just, you know, he's reliable. You know you can count on him to win his one-on-ones, and the Bengals desperately need someone like that.
29 of the New Orleans Saints going with Will Levis, quarterback out of Kentucky. This is finally where the fall stops. You know, you hit on most of the points with Will Levis. I don't love him, but I do think there are the traits there. He is going to run a very good 40 time. His arm is very live, very explosive. And, you know, I've heard his throwing motion is appealing to GMs and scouts and things like that.
Yep, it's but, quick. It's a quick release.
I do think there are huge concerns about accuracy. And other than
and
the
his
one,
ability to read the field.
Yes, and other than the one, you know, obvious glaring, you know, anomaly in Josh Allen, there has not been a lot of examples of quarterbacks fixing their accuracy from the college to the NFL level. And that's going to be the big thing for Will Levis. Yeah. And I don't know if New Orleans will be the place that he can do it, but it's hard for me to see, you know, him going, If he runs what, you know, he could run in the combine, yes, he could obviously go, you know, quarterback two or three, but I just think that would be a mistake. And I know it's cliche at this point, you know, because people on TikTok are saying, oh, quarterback one and two have been solid all year. And like, I get that and that his traits are fantastic, but at some point it's just like, good God, man.
And, you know, people might be asking, well, what's the difference between Anthony Richardson
and Will Levis. And he's going to call him Will Levis, but that's not how you say his name. So I just want people to know that.
Will Levis.
One of the differences is Anthony Richardson's 21. He is very, very raw. Very, very raw. You get 2 years before, because Anthony or Will Levis is 23. So that is 2 years of development that Anthony Richardson has not had. And another thing that I will point at before I get there, I want to say this. Will Levis wasn't able to beat out Sean Clifford at Penn State. And yes, it's college football. I know it's not the same as the NFL. But there's something to be said about not being able to beat out Sean Clifford. Like, Sean Clifford doesn't wow you. He is a game manager. He doesn't do anything special. He does exactly what he needs to. And Will Levis wasn't able to overcome that. It feels, I don't know, that feels weird.
I have a couple of things about this. Okay, first off, it's like you said, Will Levis has the speed and has the mobility, but 9 times out of 10, you're like, that's 4.5, that looks like 4.9.
Exactly, exactly.
And with Anthony Richardson, it's like, yeah, that's 4.4 right there. Bang.
Also, we saw Anthony Richardson develop over the course of the season. Yes. We didn't see it from Will Levis. And both of them were in terrible situations.
With Anthony Richardson, it's like inaccuracies, but it's obvious reasons for said inaccuracies. It's like, okay, well, his feet are just all over the place there. Will Levis, there will be plays, his feet are clean, it's a clean pocket, and he just misses guys. Mm-hmm. And you're like, how do you explain that? That's where the inaccuracies really come up big and loom large for a however-year-old quarterback, 24, 25-year-old quarterback like Will Levis. Yeah. Come on, man.
At number 29, I have the Saints going with Isaiah Foskey. I'm a huge Isaiah Foskey fan, edge out of Notre Dame. He's at the Senior Bowl right now, having a really good run of it. Although when he went up against DeJuan Jones, he struggled. And he's a little bit undersized as an edge rusher, which I do think will hurt him. He might not end up being a first round. PFF had him as like the 12th edge rusher, which I just completely disagree with. He showed it on film. He's got the quick hands. He's got some bend to him. He's able to get around the edge. And, you know, with some of the guys they had on there, I disagree with having him that low. I think I have him at like 5 or 6 right now. I'm just a huge Isaiah Foskey fan.
With the 30th overall pick, the Kansas City Chiefs take Kalijah Kenke. Defensive legend out of Pittsburgh. I have no idea how to pronounce his name. I just thought about throwing the craziest pronunciation I could out there. But I do like this pick for the Chiefs. I think a defensive line with Chris Jones and Kalijah K. yeah, I just won't try it. Would be a very vicious interior D-line threat. And I think it works a lot for him. So that's why I have the Chiefs going with at 30.
I'm intrigued that you had 3 interior defensive linemen go in the first round. I like that.
I think I had something similar last year with, what was his name? The kid out of Connecticut going.
Some Jones. It was B. Jones.
Yeah.
What was whatever. It? Ah.
But I had him going really high too. I like these big boys, unlike other people.
30. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to go with wide receiver Josh Downs out of North Carolina. They have a lot of just, I don't really know what to call him, okay talent at wide receiver. I mean, MVS had a really good game against the Bengals. But, like, outside of Travis Kelce, they don't have anybody they can rely on. Josh Downs at North Carolina was always consistent. I mean, it was just, you could always count on him. For a guy his size, I think he's 5'11", 190 pounds. He's not big, but his catch radius is insane. And he's also got the yak ability. He gets open. Him and Drake May had a special connection in North Carolina. If you just want something fun to do, just look up their highlights because they are special. And you pair him with Patrick Mahomes. I just feel like that, you know, they just need that one more. They need that one receiver. You know, they had Tyreek Hill. They traded him away. Now you get a Tyreek Hill replacement. It's not, they're nowhere near the same player, but I feel like Josh Downs is a very reliable target that is going to elevate Patrick Mahomes even higher.
31, I have the Eagles taking Nolan Smith, edge out of Georgia. I actually really do like Nolan Smith and what he provides.
Injury concerns, though, right?
Right, but I just think there are a lot of other players in this class. I think the edge class is extremely
so deep.
And, you know, looking at the second round, just because, you know, won't get a chance to talk about these guys, but B.J. Ojulari, you know, Andre Carter, two guys I really like that wouldn't get picked in the first round. So very interesting there, but Felix Anudike Uzoma from Kansas State. Tuli Tuipoloto, who I would love to see, you know, go 20, but just not quite enough spots for these guys to go. But anyway, I have Nolan Smith going 31 to the Eagles. I like this pick. I don't know how much longer Brandon Graham is going to play, but at some point he's going to move on. He's already 34 years old. He was dominant for the Eagles in their last Super Bowl run, 2018.
And strip sack to win it.
I think this is a perfect fit for Nolan Smith. I do think there will be a bit of him not playing a lot in college. I don't know how effective he'll be right away. Maybe he sits behind Brandon Graham for a season next year and learns everything there is to learn about being a pass rusher in the league. So we'll see how that goes, but I think this is a pretty solid pick and pretty good fit for Nolan Smith.
Yeah, I it seems like Brandon Graham's an ageless wonder at this point. I mean, he's playing really well. I mean, he was probably a snub for comeback player of the year. I mean, he got hurt last year. He's come back and he's been very productive. I think he finished with 12 sacks this year. I mean, just unbelievable production for a guy who's playing his 16th season in the league or 15th season in the league. Unbelievable stuff. But I could not resist giving the Philadelphia Eagles Bijan Robinson. Wow. I just could not.
I like it.
Unlike you, and this, it's funny because you actually had him go higher than I did, even though I'm higher on him than you are. I think that Bijan, he might not be generational, but he is right there. He's really close. And this is going to be a comparison that people probably see a lot. I see a lot of Saquon Barkley in him. I really do. His ability to jump cut, to find the holes, it's explosiveness. And he might not be, you know, he doesn't have the straight line speed that Saquon does. I mean, Saquon can book it down the field. Bijan isn't exactly that fast, and he's probably not as good as breaking tackles, but he makes people miss. And so when he hits the contact, he's not going to break one-on-one tackles. When the guy gets there, he's probably going to get there, right? I mean, that was your big gripe with him. But if he keeps
pretty important to make a guy miss in this league, you know what I mean?
But he can make a guy miss. I'm going to try to explain this in a way that makes sense. He's great at making people miss, but if you get a hand on him, he's not going to break that tackle. There's a couple runs against Kansas State where it was his explosiveness to move laterally in between holes was unbelievable. He has that in him. It might not be to the level of Saquon Barkley, but he's a damn good player, and he's by far my favorite running back in this class.
His ball carrier vision and ability to find holes is probably, you know, far and away the best in the class. But, you know, when you grade so much, or when you look so much about running backs, about, all right, there's one guy, make him miss, break a tackle, do whatever you got to do. It was like there's no difference between him and Roschon Johnson. And it made my head hurt. You know what I mean? And obviously he fumbled in the Texas Tech game in overtime, and that was heartbreaking. But my frustrations with Bijan kind of boiled over in that moment, but there were serious, you know, gripes I had with him and with him not being, you know, the player that I wanted him to be because he was advertised as being, you know, the greatest college football running back of all time.
He was. And you know, I do think that he kind of soured expectations a little bit. This running back class is also really good. So there's a couple of strengths in this class. Corner's one of them. Tight end is definitely one of them. I think your top end quarterback talent is there. I don't know how deep it is. There are some good guys that can carve out backup roles. We talk about, you know, Tanner McKee, Aiden O'Connell, who if you need them to be a Case Keenum, they can do it really well, but I don't know if they're going to be starters in this league. Running back is also a really deep class. One of my favorite players in this class who's a big my guy is Tyjae Spears, the running back out of Tulane. That kid is a four-reel player. He's my RB3 right now behind Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs. He's a fantastic player, and people are going to fall in love with his ability to just break tackles and accelerate into holes that just you didn't think would be there. Tackles a kind of weird class. There's not really a guy at the top. It's not really deep either. It's kind of just mid. Interior offensive line's awful. Edge is really deep this year, like you said. That's probably the deepest class. You'll be able to get day one starters in the second round. Like, that's how good this edge class is. Linebacker's not very good. Safety's not very good either. So there are specific positions that if teams are needy in them, you might see. So like a team like the Lions, they might not go corner at six just because there's a lot of great corners in this class. They might target a position that he doesn't have the depth in this class, but does have the top end talent. So I'm very interested to see how this draft kind of shakes out over the next couple of weeks, especially, you know, once the combine rolls around.
Yep.
You good?
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Catch you on the flip. See ya.